the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Capital Community Media.
Good morning and welcome to Wake Up. I'm David Dawson along with Damian Collado. Damian, how are you this morning?
I'm doing fine. How about you?
I'm doing all right. We're just going to go ahead and get it out to the forefront right now. We are suffering. We are stunned. We call them family members when someone is that close to Catholic Community Radio. Our dear friend Father Mark Beard has passed away yesterday. If you have not heard, he was involved in a single car accident, and tragedies like that just happen. And it's left we're stunned, and it's just left a major hole in our day, in our lives right now. And so we're coping with that this morning. We ask that you pray for all of his parishioners and all the people who knew and loved him. This is pretty much all of South Louisiana. The guy was extremely popular because of his passion and his faith. So, Damian, you know, we need to pray.
We do. And today is the feast day of St. Peter Julian Amard. And so we'll offer up a prayer for Father Mark and on St. Peter's behalf. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Gracious God of our ancestors, you led Peter Julian Amard, like Jacob in times past, on a journey of faith. Under the guidance of your gentle spirit, Peter Julian discovered the gift of love in the Eucharist, which your Son, Jesus, offered for the hungers of humanity. Grant that we may celebrate this mystery, and we also profess it profoundly for the greater glory of God. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Kind of fits the bill for
it
Father
does.
Mark.
It does. A little while later, we're going to be talking to Father Chris Decker. We're going to be talking about Father Mark Beard, and good friends with Father Mark. A lot of us were, and so we have memories, you know. And I'm thinking, in the near future, we're going to have a testimonial and more information, some wonderful recordings and such that we have of Father Mark Beard, simply because he was such a special man. So a little later on, Natalie Jero, president and CCO of Second Harvest Food Bank in New Orleans, we're going to talk about the food pantry needs and the volunteer opportunities. They need volunteers. They do so much. They feed so many people. We're going to talk about that. And then Dr. Susan Caldwell, primary care and NAPRO technology physician, specializing in women's health and a speaker at the Converging Roads Healthcare Conference in Baton Rouge. Coming up August, she's going to be talking to Damian about that. And that Converging Roads conference is amazing, and all the things they talk about, because they talk about faith in medicine.
Ethics
and faith in medicine. That's right. And then Michelle Sagarino, president of Cross Catholic Outreach, she's going to be talking about their Fight World Hunger campaign. And that's another outfit that we cooperate with throughout the year, with Boxes of Joy. So they're just wonderful people, and we work with them.
Yeah. Wish we could work with the weather a little bit better.
Oh, boy.
It's been a record-breaking week when it comes to the heat and high temperatures, and today will be no different. We have a high expected to be, again, around 100 degrees. And if we get some rain, it'll cool things down. Unlike the past 2 days, though, there's really no rain in the forecast. Winds out of the southwest right now at 5 to 10 miles an hour for tomorrow. 102 is your high, with less than 10% chance of rain. And pretty much the weekend's going to be about the same. Temperatures in and around the area right now, 80 degrees in Gulfport, Covington at 76, Home of Thibodeau 78, Baton Rouge at 77, in New Orleans, it's already up to 84 degrees. Don't go too far. Father Chris Decker is going to be with us in just a moment here on Wake Up.
A good Thursday to you. I'm Father Chris Decker with today's Gospel. Jesus said to his disciples, "The kingdom of heaven is like a net thrown into the sea, which collects fish of every kind. When it is full, they haul it ashore and sit down to put what is good into buckets. What is bad, they throw away. Thus it will be at the end of the age. The angels will go out and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. Do you understand all these things?" They answered, "Yes." And he replied, "Then every scribe who has been instructed in the kingdom of heaven is like the head of a household who brings from his storeroom both the new and the old." When Jesus finished these parables, he went away from there.
And that was Father Chris Decker with today's Gospel reading, and he's with us right now on Wake Up. As Dave mentioned at the top of the show, tragic news about Father Mark Beard, who passed away in a very horrible auto accident late yesterday afternoon, early evening. And Father Chris, thank you for being with us. You guys knew each other very well, and we would, you know, just like to hear your thoughts and maybe share some words about Father Mark Beard.
Absolutely. Good morning. Yet terrible, tragic news. As I hear the gospel today, I'm reminded that Father Mark Beard loved the fact that God chose him to be a steward, taking from the storeroom both the old and the new. Father Mark, if you ever were at his parish or heard one of his homilies, he absolutely loved how everything that's promised in the Old Testament is fulfilled in Jesus Christ in the New Testament. And yes, I think that's why he was so unafraid of doing exactly what Jesus does in the gospel today, laying it on the line. Which bucket do you want to be separated into? You know, that was a great deal of his message. And that was those homilies that you hear, or the manner in which you experience Father Mark's ministry, was very much who he was. I mean, I remember the first time that I saw him in the seminary setting. Is you always wonder when you have a guy coming in from who's a second career vocation like Father Mark was, like, who is this guy? You know, but I don't know how many people know Father Mark used to work in the wastewater management company.
Yep.
You know,
that's right.
So he was always up to his neck in it professionally, and so he didn't have a whole lot of time, you know, to waste.
So he had some pre-training.
For sure.
He was very much
a get it done, you know.
He was. You knew how he was. He was straightforward all the time. I love the fact that you guys, even though you were a couple years ahead of him in the seminary, but his nickname was Pops.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That had to have come around a little after my time.
Yeah.
But the thing is, because he was such a figure that you wanted to look up to, you know, because he had direction and drive. I would imagine that in the seminary, he probably was very much of a father figure for the guys that came after me.
And he had that gray hair at an early age.
You know, I was reading a reflection because everybody's posting their memories and reflections of him.
Sure.
And somebody said in his homilies, he just flat out said what we all really want to say but don't have the guts to, right? He really spoke the truth.
He said the quiet parts out loud.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
Passionate man.
And and that was the thing. I don't think anybody would deny his passion for Christ and saving souls. That was his overall mission.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's really, it's rare that you get to see that lived so technicolor as you did with Father Mark, you know. And the thing about it, though, is he was incredibly tender as he was telling you news that might, you know, might rub you the wrong way at first blush.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's really, if you imagine how Christ was, you know, Jesus would tell you, he would give you all these parables, and then he would tell the disciples, and here's what this means. This is, there's no middle ground here. You either choose the Lord or you don't.
Yeah.
And Father Mark had the ability to tell you that in a way where it struck to your heart. And I think that perhaps has a lot to do with his own conversion experience. You know, you've probably seen if you're reading some of the accounts of his vocation story, mm-hmm. that he went to Medjugorje to disprove those Catholics.
He did.
You know? No.
Is it because he wanted to, like, get it out of his head? Is that it? Because, I mean, was it,
yeah,
was it there? You know what I mean?
Effectively, yeah. I think he was kind of being tormented by this.
Right,
you know, the Lord
right.
does that. The Holy Spirit can either be a comforting dove, you know, with an olive branch, or he can kind of peck at your heart, you
right,
know?
Right, right.
And so Father Mark went to completely disprove and came back completely converted. You know,
yeah.
there was a true conversion.
Yeah.
You know, he went to the Sacrament of Reconciliation, as he continually preached for people to do, because that was the source for him of re-encountering God's love.
Right.
And my great hope is that you know, in the midst of all this tragedy, Father Mark's ministry could continue to be fulfilled by souls going, wow, what a tragedy. What must I do to come to know the Lord as he did, you know? And,
yeah.
I think that would be a fitting tribute.
Well, he fell in love with Our Lady, the Blessed Mother, for sure, after
yeah.
Medjugorje. And then look what he did just recently with his retreat up in North Louisiana or southern
yeah,
Mississippi,
Hope,
right there at that border.
Beautifully
yes.
named Our Lady of Hope. Because again, that kind of harkens to his own story, is that I think Our Lady provided him hope for the
mm-hmm.
future, that his life not only has had purpose, but an even greater purpose than what he knew at that time. And that's really one of the things about Father Mark that is still so amazing, is he had the ability to pre-visualize something, but he also had that rare ability to begin to put the wheels in motion to make it happen.
Yeah.
And you don't usually get that that whole package, if you will, in a priest. A priest who can ideate, like I can dream all day long, but I don't necessarily have the ability to put it into practice, you know. But
yeah.
he could
yeah.
gather all the people around him. He had that secular experience, certainly the building and construction
right,
and all that.
Right, yeah.
And he was able to move those projects forward. And that, I mean, that's doing something beautiful for the Lord. It really
yes,
is.
Yes,
amen. Yeah.
Quite the businessman.
No info yet on funeral arrangements, right? It's still in the
Not
works.
Yet. I will probably be checking in to my other hat with the communications office at the diocese to see how that's going. I would imagine that everybody's still kind of in a tailspin, you know.
Sure, yeah, sure, we
because,
all are.
Because, you know,
mm-hmm.
his mother's still alive, so, mm-hmm. I mean, you never want to have to bury one of your children, you know.
No.
That's always such a tragedy, so it's always a thing of trying to get the diocese, you know, because he's a priest, but then also to respect his family, so I would imagine a lot of those things are taking place right now.
Father Chris, give us a blessing and also a quick prayer for Father Mark.
Absolutely. I'll close with this prayer from the funeral rite for a priest. We implore your kindness, O God, for Mark, your servant and priest, that as you made him a steward of your mysteries on earth, so you may bring him to be nourished by their truth and reality as unveiled in heaven through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And Almighty God bless you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for August 3rd. Today we celebrate St. Peter Julian Aimard. Born in southeastern France in 1811, Peter Julian Aimard struggled with poverty and illness as a young man, and with a driving need for perfection throughout his life. He had a deep love of the Eucharist and preached the 40 hours devotion in many parishes. First ordained a diocesan priest, then permitted to enter the Society of Mary, he finally established the Blessed Sacrament Fathers, serving as the congregation's first superior general. Though Peter Julian initially focused his efforts on ending indifference to the Eucharist, he eventually emphasized a more positive spirituality of Christ-centered love. Members of his congregation alternated between an active apostolic life and a quiet life contemplating Jesus in the Eucharist. One was to flow into the other. In 1858, he co-founded the Servants of the Blessed Sacrament for women religious, and later, the Priest Eucharistic League and Archconfraternity of the Blessed Sacrament. Peter Julian Aimard died in 1868 and was canonized in 1962, one day after the end of Vatican II's first session. There's more about the saints, along with inspiration and Catholic resources, at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Past the hour, you're tuning your heart to the truth. I am David Dawson, along with Damian Collado. And, you know, we're going to be following up throughout the week and such as we get more information. And I'm sure there's going to be statements from the bishops, especially Bishop Duke, on this tragic loss that we've just had with Father Mark Beard. And this is in the Diocese of Baton Rouge. But he affected a lot of people in a lot of other dioceses simply because of his dynamic personality. But Damien...
St. Leonard Parish, he turned that parish around.
It turned people into a pilgrimage site. My wife and I went a couple of weeks ago, and it was just amazing.
Share with the folks what he's done there with the relics.
Well, for one thing, we just went up there to go to Mass, early morning Mass, simply because you just want to hear those homilies. And you just leave the place on fire because the man is so passionate. He would give many homilies before each reading.
He tells you what's coming up.
What's coming up.
So your mind can be opened up a little bit more to understand what the reading is about.
And like Father Chris said, he was passionate about tying the Old Testament in with the New Testament.
Correct. So, well, he always did he liked to do the Jewish roots.
The Jewish roots
with the Catholic Eucharist.
Exactly. And then what he's done physically with the parish is amazing too. He's got one of the most amazing adoration chapels that was built that I've ever seen, and then the beautiful statuary and such, a reliquary like none other. So
150
relics that he has there. So
if you've never been, it's worth the trip to a meet.
Absolutely, it's worth it. So. All right, we're joined right now by Natalie Gyro. She's president, it might be Gyro. I will check with her. Natalie, is it Gyro or Gyro?
Gyro.
Great. President.
You got it.
President and CCO of Second Harvest Food Bank in New Orleans, and she's going to be talking about the food pantry needs and volunteer needs. I know you need that because in researching you, Natalie, and all the things that you do, you feed a lot of people everywhere. I mean, this isn't just a New Orleans thing.
Yeah, we actually serve 23 parishes of South Louisiana.
Gosh.
First, thank you so much for having me today.
Sure.
So we stretch from the Mississippi to the Texas borders, and every year we serve over 300,000 people. And we do that through the generosity, like you said, of so many people who come volunteer with us, have food drives for us, donate funds to us. So we are so very, very thankful.
So you've been doing a summer feeding program because kids are off of school, they're in camps, they're in youth programs and community centers like that. You've been providing food for them as well, right?
We have almost 5,000 meals a day.
Gosh.
To more than 3,500 children across South Louisiana. It's a wonderful program. We do it in partnership with so many entities. And yesterday I was thrilled to get the word that in Lake Charles, the mayor was so happy with the work that we had done that they've expanded that program to include after school meals as well.
Wonderful.
We'll be working year round. Thank the mayor of Lake Charles so much for the partnership. You know, that partnerships are everything for us.
I imagine.
Our work down in Houma.
Well,
with the diocese.
Yeah, you're down in Houma too. And in fact, school is starting in some areas, right? And so how are y'all gearing up for that? What are y'all doing there?
So we do a number of programs for schools. We have more than 20 what we call school pantries across South Louisiana. And that's where we say to teachers and principals, if you identify a child that is exhibiting signs of not having good breakfast when they come to school, we're going to set up a little grocery store in your school. You can send home a box of groceries for the entire family.
Oh.
So we have that program.
Okay.
We do some backpacks for kids. Children that are at risk for food insecurity, we send them home with a backpack of kid-friendly food on Friday, so they've got some food to tie them up for the weekends. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, we've got our kitchen and our after-school program, and we'll be serving probably 50 sites across South Louisiana, again, for those kids that may be staying in school for programming after school. We make sure they have a good meal in the evening, too.
So these are meals prepared for them. In other words, they're not. That's not just bringing home food that's packaged.
Yes.
They're actually having a meal, right?
That they're having a meal.
Okay.
We work with the schools and with partners to let us know where those kids are. maybe kids that are involved in some kind of after-school programming. We can serve those programs as well. Anywhere where there's a child in Louisiana, because unfortunately we have such a high rate of child food insecurity here, one out of every five children. So we're basically able to help any child that's participating in a program, any child we can find. We can do what we call open sites. If we have a community that says, look, we don't have a library here, we work with libraries in a lot of cases. Can you bring a truck in and distribute food for kids at an what we call an open site, not a program? We can do that as well.
Now, and this is just, we're just talking one area. We're just talking about feeding kids. We were talking about feeding kids for the summer. We're talking about feeding kids for school. And then you have seniors. We haven't gotten into that, but I think what we really need to get into right now is you need, I can only imagine, you need volunteers, right?
Oh, my gosh. If you know anyone listening that likes to get up early in the morning, please come volunteer. We're so excited to be doing senior meals for Jefferson Parish, for St. Bernard Parish, and then for Jeff Davis Parish in Calcasieu.
Yeah.
And we get those meals going at 6 a.m. in the morning and pack them up, and they're out the door early on to all the senior centers that we're serving across South Louisiana. So, yes, love help.
Now the seniors,
we can't do what we do in the kitchen without help.
Okay, and the senior citizens, once again, these are prepared meals that you're talking about?
These are prepared meals. They're individually wrapped. What we're so excited about is that we know our seniors need more help than they're getting. And we're really determined that we're going to give them a meal that they enjoy eating. So our chef goes out to all these sites. He talks to the seniors once they taste his food, and they give him suggestions for things they'd like to see change, and he implements those. So it's really a rewarding experience to go out to these councils on aging and actually see the folks that we're working to help and get their opinion on how we can do better.
Now, you are talking a lot of meals going on here. I'm looking at your numbers here, and you got somebody saying, okay, what's everybody want to eat? Wow. I mean, that's
you know, it's so important that we listen. And our value is to be good listeners and to do what the community needs us to do. Not, you know, come in with a here's one size fits all,
right?
Take it or leave it. We want to be partners, and we're so thankful for the almost 700 partners that we have, which include hospitals as well
as
community centers and nonprofits, you know, saying, hey, we have this need. We have cancer patients that need some nutritious food after they finish chemotherapy so they don't have to go home and then drag themselves to the grocery store when they may not have enough. So when we hear those stories and we find that partner, we're thrilled to be able to, try to help improve, health outcomes for people that are sick, or children be ready to learn at school, or seniors, you know, who get out of hospital that we provide boxes for. So they, you know, in their first few days after hospital, they don't have to worry about shopping. And we're just privileged to be able to do that in the community.
That's fantastic.
So, Natalie, how many volunteers, I'm guessing volunteers, are putting these meals together each day? And do you have more than one chef? And if so, big of a facility is this?
Well, our Harahan facility is almost 200,000 square feet.
Okay.
Our kitchen in that facility is 6,500 square feet.
Oh, okay.
And we do 2 to 3 shifts of volunteers in our kitchen a day, and that can be 25 people. So if you can picture this, the meal's been prepared. We're going to serve almost 4,000 seniors, 3,000 of them out of our Harahan facility. And then once the meal is ready to go, we have volunteers lined up. Not only have they helped to prepare the meal, they then do an assembly line where they get these individual trays and they make all the individual meals and put them into hot boxes, and then our drivers get in trucks and drive them around the the community.
What a system.
Yeah, well, that sounds like a very efficient system.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it has to be, doesn't it? I mean, that is amazing.
Now, don't you're going to run for mayor in New Orleans?
You?
I have the best job there is.
If you can do that, you can run that city.
Yeah. Natalie.
You know what? And I just want to mention how excited we are about working with the diocese in Houma. Uh-huh. We're renovating a warehouse for them so that we can be, you know, we could actually have a facility in the community rather than just sending our trucks down there. So another exciting partnership, and we're looking forward to making a bigger difference for our neighbors down the bayou.
All the more efficient. Okay, so you're going to need donations, and you're going to need volunteers.
Yes.
Where can people go for that, Natalie?
So our website is no-hunger.org.
Okay, no-hunger.org. All right.
Uh-huh. And you can go on. You can actually sign up for a volunteer shift. You can donate if you would like to. You could see how you could do a food drive in your mm-hmm. school, in your business or community. We certainly need help with food, too.
Very good.
Most of
Very
our good. Food comes from, you know, the from private business and from
yes,
individuals.
Indeed. Natalie, once again, thank you for joining us. You keep up the good work.
Oh, thank you for having me. And we are blessed to be doing this.
Great.
And fortunate to be part of the Archdiocese of New Orleans, who gave us our start.
All right. Bottom of the hour on Wake Up.
And it's 25 before the top of the hour. Happy Thursday, everyone. So glad you could join us. Damian Collado along with David Dawson. And our guest right now, Dr. Susan Caldwell, primary care and NAPRO technology, or a natural procreative technology physician specializing in women's health. And she's going to be one of the speakers at the upcoming Converging Roads Healthcare Conference, which is taking place in Baton Rouge at the end of August. Good morning, Doc.
Good morning. Great to be with y'all today.
Well, great to have you. You know, this is something that I hope, let's not make it over the heads of our listeners, because a lot of times when we get into medical terms, it can get real dicey, at least for me. I'll just speak for myself, if nothing else. But what I guess the first thing is you're going to be talking about is affirming the dignity of women in medicine. And I've got to ask the first question, when did we lose that?
Ooh, that's a great question. And man, would I love to talk to you about that all day.
You probably can, but then we'll get into the logistics of the conference and the importance of it. But that's an intriguing title and topic that you'll be touching on.
Yes, it's so important for our time today. You know, things are getting darker in the world.
Yeah.
you know, ever since you said, when did we lose the idea of dignity, women? That, you know, back in the garden with Eve, right? I mean, really.
Yeah. Okay.
But I'm speaking from a place of as a patient. I kind of took the bait. As a patient, and took birth control, and then used IVF to conceive my children, right?
Okay.
And so back in the day, I didn't understand, you know, there was a different way to practice medicine that was in accord with the dignity of the human person versus a way that wasn't, right? So I just learned in medical school to follow the rules of my particular discipline and to be a quote unquote good doctor. Right. In other words, don't get sued.
Mm-hmm.
And make sure you pass all the tests. Right.
That's right.
And
wow.
So
yeah.
That is not what I was made for. Right. That was not what those of us who are called to this noble profession of healthcare, we weren't called to just pass all the tests and do what we're told to do from a secular standpoint. Right. No, we are here to serve the human person. We are here to serve, making sure each person is able to be obedient to God and in a way that we just respond to the love that He has already given us, right?
Wow.
But so that we will be happy with Him now and in eternity, right?
Right.
So once I realized there was a different way to practice medicine that was in accord with my own dignity, plus in accord with the dignity of the patients who come to me, you know, in for help, right? I have to now be transformed by the renewal of my mind. And so that's what we're here to do on August 26th, is mm-hmm. to proclaim that there is a way to both, you know, honor and serve God and our neighbor in healthcare. And it brings great fruit in the, you know, in the natural world as
right,
well. So,
right.
you know, now that I'm practicing Napper technology, you know, it's much more successful and edifying and healthy for the human person than IVF was for me.
Yeah.
So, right. So there's a good, this is good news.
Well, no. Where do you, outside of a conference like this though, where does one build their foundation spiritually yeah. with their profession in the healthcare world? Because I think the mm-hmm. two intermingle, though in the secular world, you would think it's almost like church and state. They need to be separated.
Right.
Yeah.
And ethics is so important.
Yes. I remember, you know, when I was going through my conversion about 12 years ago, I heard a doctor say that they don't take off their Catholic identity when they put on their lab coat. And I was inspired by that. And I literally got on my computer at that, because I was on a journey, you know, to kind of get rid of birth control in my own practice and things like that. So I Googled that question, you know, Catholic doctors. I was by myself, right? I didn't have any support. And there I found the Catholic Medical Association, which is this wonderful group nationwide. There's an annual meeting each year. It's going to be held in Phoenix, Arizona this fall. And then there's local chapters, there's virtual groups, but they have a great journal. And so I would recommend anyone who just wants to know more to look up cathmed.org or just Google Catholic Medical Association. Follow them on social media. You know, join the group. You get a journal every quarter, the Lineker Quarterly. We just need to be, again, we need to be transformed by the renewal of our minds, and we can't just stop in the secular renewal of our mind and just be really smart doctors. We need to be really holy doctors in this time.
Dr. Caldwell, I tell you, it is refreshing to hear you speak like this and
Isn't it?
And so we've got a lot of healthcare professionals who listen day in and day out. Share with them about this conference. Let's dive into the details.
Yes. Okay, it's on Saturday, August 26th. It starts at 9:15 in the morning, goes to about 5:45 in the afternoon if you stay for the wine and cheese reception. The theme is healthcare at the service of human dignity. And back up a little bit, it's put on by the St. John Paul II Foundation. Mm. And they do these series of conferences called Converging Roads. Mm-hmm. And they offer continuing education for healthcare professionals, equipping them to practice the highest ethical and medical standards, right? So we're not just here, you know, off in our little bubble, you know, with God and these high, you know, we're talking about good health care, right?
That's right.
Good health care is holy health care. they go together. It's at the Tracy Center in Baton Rouge.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it's kind of put on by the St. John Paul II Foundation, the Diocese of Baton Rouge, and the Franciscan Missionaries of Our Lady Health System.
Yes, and there's a mass actually at 8 o'clock, right, to kick things off if you want to go early.
Good.
Yes, at 8 a.m., there's a mass with Bishop Duca.
Yeah, he's going to
be
the
celebrant.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And outside of that, I want to touch on some of the topics, at least mention them. Dignity and disability in medicine, vocations of the healthcare professional. Boy, I'd love to be sitting in on that. And another one is, you have some speakers. Mary Bruno, who's been on our show, as well as Sister Serpa, she's going to be there as well speaking with you.
Yes. So exciting. Yes.
And so they get CE credits, too, if they attend, if those who want, right?
Continuing education, right, up to six I believe it's for nurses and doctors, I believe. But, you know, everyone, even, you know, physical therapists, we ask, you know, you to come, therapists, anyone
right.
really at the service of life in healthcare. We're going to be talking about prenatal diagnoses. This can really touch every person, right? Because we all know somebody, now that they're having so many of these diagnoses in the prenatal time
right.
of life, a lot of women and couples become very scared by these diagnoses that often are even incorrect. So it's really sad. So we really just need to be equipped to understand this in a better way.
Well, it's so refreshing to hear. She gives us such hope. You don't hear that part of the medical profession.
Well, and because it's all, I don't want to say close-knit, but it's confined to the fact that we just keep it in medicine.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that you're looking at the body and the soul
yes.
of the individual when you're practicing.
Okay,
if they want more information, where do they go?
To register, you go to convergingroads.com/Baton Rouge.
Very good. And you'll get all the information, whether you're a student all the way to a healthcare professional and everything in between. They have everything covered. It's going to be a wonderful conference. Dr. Susan Caldwell, thank you so much for not only being with us, but for what you do in your vocation.
Thank you. God bless.
God bless. All right, folks. It's 45 after the hour. Things are rocking and rolling and moving along on this Thursday. Stick around. We have more coming your way on Wake Up.
Past the hour. You are tuning your heart to the truth. I'm David Dawson, along with Damian Collada on Wake Up. And this show has been amazing. Damian, we've been talking to folks who are actually being Christ to others. Our first guest talking about serving food. This is in the area of Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
And then the medical profession actually being Christ to each other. And now we're going to do the same thing right here. We have Michelle Sagarino. She's president of Cross Catholic Outreach, and she's going to talk about fighting world hunger. And they've been serving people like the Dominican Republic and such. And we're kind of involved with this too. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning, David. Good morning, Damian. Thanks for having me with you today. Thank you very much.
It's good to have you with us. Now we're reaching much further than the state of Louisiana here. we're talking all over the world, right? I mean, talk about how many countries you guys serve.
Yes, we definitely, right? The church is doing great things all around the world, from Louisiana to... We support missionaries in over 36 countries this year.
Wow.
So from Malawi to Ghana to Vietnam, Philippines, Haiti, and of course, the Dominican Republic as well.
That is quite the organization. Where are you headquartered at?
We are headquartered in Boca Raton, Florida,
okay.
under the Diocese of Palm Beach. We work alongside Bishop Barbarito there.
Okay. But then again, you have offices all over the United States, I would imagine, right?
We do. With many ministries have experienced since COVID, we have more and more people throughout the United States working remote that have been called to work here and serve those in need. And our model is internationally is really coming alongside the bishops, priests, religious, lay workers to mobilize the global Catholic Church to transform the poor in their communities,
right.
not just materially, but spiritually. So that model of coming alongside those missionaries that are already in these countries and having long-term relationships provides such transparency and efficiency and really the spiritual support and growth that we all desire, right, coming alongside of.
So once again, as our theme has been today, once again, you're not just storing food in warehouses and distributing. You're actually being one-on-one working with these people, aren't you?
We are.
Yeah.
Our ministry, we support water and housing and education and food. And last year, we were able to ship over 26 million meals to about 18 of those partners we discussed in 10 countries. And we did that for just 15 cents a meal. So we really feel that with all that's going on in the world right now, with challenges, food insecurity, we're experiencing a raise prices that are much, much higher than before.
That's
true. This campaign to provide 6 million meals in Dominican Republic is what God's calling us to do right now.
My goodness, how do you do that many meals? Are we talking dry goods? I guess it would have to be, right? Or how is that done?
Yeah, part of our ministry arm is that we really have a strong capacity to ship. And
okay.
So we ship medical supplies and food and roofing, many things,
okay,
to our partners, all demand-driven. And so the food is called Vita Food. We named it that.
Okay.
It's basically a rice or potato or lentil base with a protein, a soy or a bean, and vitamins in it. And it really helps to improve the health of these vulnerable children and families. So that's what enables us to be able to have it, the cost at just 15 cents. So
15
cents. Can you imagine?
God, that's,
I know.
That is fantastic. So now we are actually working with you, and we will be working with you when the holidays approach, when we do the Boxes of Joy. And
yes.
I know we're a distribution. Well, we're a drop-off. We're not.
Drop-off point.
Yeah, I guess distribution. Somebody comes and picks it up. You know,
but
we've had a lot of people. I mean, it was interesting what happened last year, and I have a feeling this year it's only going to be all the more high volume. Talk about Box of Joy.
Well, thank you so much for participating and being a drop-off center.
Sure.
Box of Joy, it started in 2014 because we really wanted to give faith and action opportunities to a parish to live out the works of mercy.
Yeah.
And so it's a Christmas box program. We ship everything that the school, the church, the business, the individual needs, a box and brochures and all of that. And then individuals fill it with school supplies, clothing, fun toys.
Yeah.
It comes back to our distribution center, and we put in a rosary and a story of Jesus in the language
that
it's being shipped to. Last year, because of your support, we were able to ship over 150,000 boxes to bless 150,000 children.
Wow.
Many have never received a gift.
And where do some places where these boxes go? What are some areas?
Yes, they go to Haiti, Nicaragua,
okay,
Guatemala, El Salvador. This year, we're proud to announce it's the first time we were able to ship these Christmas boxes to Malawi, and the children loved it.
That is so neat, because it's once again, it's hands-on. People are getting involved. They're involving their kids. The kids are shopping with them. They're packing the boxes with them.
That's what I did. I took my grandkids.
There you go.
And I said, all right, what would a girl your age want? And they put it in the box. I said, but it's got to fit in this box.
Yes.
And so that becomes some of the challenge, too. But it was so much fun putting it together for both of them, the 7-year-old boy and a 4-year-old granddaughter. So we had fun doing that.
Absolutely.
And you do make it a family event, and they get to understand what giving is about as well.
Yep.
And once again,
it's hands-on approach. We're not just writing a check, which, I mean, you guys certainly need that, too.
Yeah. Well, Michelle, real quick, conversions. Are you seeing that in the process? Because I know the people you're touching are not all Catholic.
They're not all Catholic. Everyone that we work through is Catholic. We're truly a Catholic ministry. But the beneficiaries are it's no requirement whatsoever to be Catholic. But we have seen so many conversions. For instance, in Kenya, I remember when one of our missionaries was first stationed there, a Rasminian, to help the Turkana and the Maasai tribe. He would go to the outpost and he'd be ready to have mass, and no one was there with him under the tree.
Wow.
Well, fast forward 4 years, it's packed, and there's a parish, and there's a council, and there's a Catholic school. So much is happening because we know that Christ draws us, right?
Yes,
and so we see it day in and day out from Haiti, all around the world, that just being present and sharing the gospel along with the material aid and the social support, That's true transformation. That's what we're about.
Absolutely.
We see if you just give the material aid, it could just be a bigger home, right?
Yeah.
But not transformation.
Right. That's beautiful. Okay, so where can folks go? You need financial donations as well as when we get into the boxes of joy later. Where can they go to do that, Natalie?
For sure. We have on our homepage, you can go to crosscatholic.org, mm-hmm. and you will see this whole Fighting Hunger campaign, and you can click on it. For $35, you could do 233 meals for hungry people. Or for $150, you could provide 1,000 meals. And if you're interested in Box of Joy, go to boxofjoy.org, and it'll walk you through all the steps to bless children with Christmas boxes.
Michelle, thank you for all you do. You keep up the good work.
Thank you so much. God bless you. And thanks for being part of our community, too.
All right.
Amen. Okay. We'll close with a prayer. O Jesus, eternal high priest, keep your servants within the shelter of your sacred heart where none may harm them. Keep unstained their consecrated hands, which daily touch your sacred body. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thanks for joining us. Tomorrow we got Knights of Columbus, Catholic Foodie, Dave Dawson Jr., much, much more on Wake Up.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Media.